Welcome to the John Maxwell Executive Leadership Podcast, where our goal is to help you increase your reputation as a leader, increase your ability to influence others, and increase your ability to fully engage your team to drive remarkable results. Hi, I'm Perry Holly, a John Maxwell facilitator and coach.
And I'm Chris Cody, Vice President with the John Maxwell Company. Welcome and thank you for joining. Today's topic is titled Characteristics of Highly Accountable People. And I guess we could even subtitle it Driving Results Through Accountability. Now, this is a level three focus for us. This is a production focus. But let me start out by saying this. It's not negative, right? Like when you hear even just
who's accountable for
that's this? Right. When you think about the accountability and the word, right? This is not a negative approach. Like this is just part of, as leaders and as businessmen and women, what we need to be focused on as part of what we do. And this is always being discussed in leadership circles about how do I become more accountable? How do I hold my team more accountable? How do we, right? So I know you took some time and put this lesson together. I just want everybody to know this is not negative. We're going to give you some hopefully tools today that'll help drive some of this.
Yeah, I'd say, how do you define accountability is where we start. And I guess for me growing up and kind of what you're referring to was it was who's to blame when something's not done right? Mm-hmm. Who's accountable for this mess type thing versus now as I've lived through it a lot is that I believe accountability is more about ownership. And who owns the outcome that we're seeking? And it's really a mindset shift is to really embed into your team is that mind shift of ownership, not blame. And it's ownership on the front end, not blame on the back end. Accountability comes at the beginning, not at the end.
Yeah. And I think we need to differentiate a little bit even between what I would call personal accountability and team accountability because one of them doesn't lead to the other, right? So just because I hold myself accountable doesn't mean that my team is going to be held accountable. And also, we got to think about, okay, so teams are made up of individuals, and so we got to figure out the accountability structure there and the personal side of it, but then how do we collectively hold them kind of responsible, quote-unquote, accountable? And I know for me, like, this is actually in my growth plan this year, because we've talked about on this, naturally you have a bent towards level two or level three. My natural bent is towards level two. While I'm always leaning towards reading and learning something new at level two, I need to work on my level three area, my production, my accountability, my drive for results. And so part of my growth plan with my CEO, Mark Cole, this year is we literally will have our one-on-ones, but we also have level three focused meetings because he knows that I tend to be a little relational and connect and the accountability and the numbers will
you and
kind
me
of
both. Yeah,
right. And so all of us, again, I'm just letting you know that all of us need to be working on these areas. And it's not a negative, but let's talk a little bit about, the fact that there is a difference between the personal accountability and team accountability.
So I was looking at four characteristics that I just noticed about highly accountable people. And just we should probably do personal team maybe back and forth on that because characteristic number one I notice as if you're a highly accountable person is you set a high standard for yourself and for others. You're not kind of winging it. You have a standard that you're shooting for. You've set yourself up for success and the team. There's a lot of moral failures and integrity failures being broadcast in the news from leaders that I think if you had a real high standard for yourself and might be a starting place for that to really own that.
Well, in today's technology, you got to understand everything's being recorded, both audibly, or even video-wise, and it's something you need to be highly, highly aware of. Even some of what you may post, whether it's Instagram, Twitter, Facebook.
You said some of what you may post.
Okay. Yeah. All. Okay, maybe even all. That's right. So, when you talk about this, the high standards, right, from a personal accountability, what I think about is, you don't give yourself a break that you wouldn't give anybody else. You kind of own your outcomes. Whether the mistakes, the positive results, whatever, you own it, you personally own it. Team accountability, you communicate clearly what the standards of performance are to the team. And I think I kind of broke it down. Greg Cagle talks a lot about these three words, who's one of our executive facilitators and coaches. He talks about clarity, alignment, and accountability, right? And so we need to be communicating with clarity to our team so that they have proper expectations. We need to be communicating often to our team so that we're in alignment, not necessarily always in agreement. And then I think the natural result of that and what will follow will be the accountability side of that.
Yeah, I love this standard of performance and reading a lot about how leaders set that up. And it really is having a vision, knowing where we're going, having a that foundation of clarity, like you said, that what it is we're trying to accomplish, what's the outcome we're seeking, and then what's the ownership, who owns what part of that, and just really communicating that. Characteristic number two of a highly accountable person, I found that they expect more from themselves. They could possibly expect more from others as well. I just noticed that they don't let themselves off the hook. And to me, this means that you don't just really have good intentions, that you're going to get things done. You actually take the actions needed, and no matter how uncomfortable that may be.
And I think this one, we can kind of almost combine the personal and the team side. And I think it's easy for us to judge others by what they do, right? It's what we see. It's kind of what's been quoted out there, that we judge, you know, ourselves by our intentions. We judge other people by their actions. I think our team does the exact same thing. And collectively, you guys can all kind of move down that path of beginning to judge other people, other leaders, other teams by what you see versus what their true intentions are. And I think highly accountable people and or teams, they just don't rest on what their intentions are. We've heard that famous, statement of road to hell is paved with good intentions. Yeah. It's really kind of about what you do and the fact that what your team does and how you produce. And so we need to make sure that whether it's for ourselves personally or our team, that we're very action oriented, that we're moving the needle when it comes to the production side of things.
Yeah, very good. And like our friend Andy Stanley likes to teach, that your destination is determined by your direction, not your intention. Mm-hmm. So are you actually going in that direction? Characteristic number three of a highly accountable person, I love this, they receive feedback really well. In fact, they seek feedback so they can better understand if they're on track. They don't kind of wait around for somebody to give them feedback. They know they own it and the outcome, and they're looking for feedback. How am I doing? And with that, they probably also provide feedback pretty freely.
Yeah, when it comes to personal accountability, I think highly accountable people make sure that they have an inner circle or a place, you could call it a safe place, where they can go and actually get candid feedback. And, you know, John talks a lot about having an inner circle, and he talks about having an outer circle. And his inner circle are the men and women, you know, a select few in his life that know everything about him, the good, the bad, the ugly, the beautiful, all that stuff, and that they can have very real and candid conversations. And then once they step out of that conversation, there's no judgment. It's just real facts back and forth to each other. The outer circle, he talks about bringing new thoughts and new thinkers and innovative and different ideas, to where he can't have the same conversations from an accountability standpoint personally with that outer circle. And so I would challenge you on here, you know, is there a couple of men and women in your life that you can develop an inner circle to where you can have some of those accountability conversations? When it comes to team accountability, I think highly accountable leaders give and receive feedback well to their team. One of the things I wrote down here is I think when the team is in this mindset, they do it in real time. And the power of doing accountability and conversations as a team in real time, whether it's in your weekly team meetings, whether it's in a daily stand-up, whatever the pace of your work is, adjustments can be made. Right. And it goes back to even what we just talked about what you are doing, the action-oriented. So I think as personally, you need to model that behavior. You need to seek feedback, whether it's from your inner circle or from your team. And then as a team, I think you guys need to be able to have those conversations real time in order to be able to make adjustments in the business.
I'm surprised by the number of conversations I have either as a coach or facilitator in a five levels when I bring up the inner circle idea. People haven't thought about this. And I think, you know, when I was younger, I didn't either. I kind of figured it out later that I need a handful, maybe three or four, or not more than that, that are in, that, like you said, know everything about me. My wife leads that, and then I have three men that I can just say anything to, and they can say anything to me. It keeps you from reading your own press clippings.
That's right.
Make sure you're on the straight. Characteristic number four, the last one of a highly accountable person, is they are very outcome-focused. They know what they're trying to accomplish. They also know why they are trying to accomplish it. They're not. This really helps with not being distracted by all the noise that's around you and keeps you focused and priority focused, I find.
Yeah, you know, this is a great point about knowing your why, and obviously Simon Sinek has talked a lot about this, and other people have talked a lot about it, so I don't want to kind of drill too deep here, but man, this is so important for personal and team accountability. I think especially when it comes to your team, you need to communicate and connect the why to them. A lot of them, as leaders, we have the privilege and sometimes the burden of knowing more than others do. And we also should be able to see more than others see. And we should be able to see further than others can see. And so when that's the case, it is so important for us to make sure that we are communicating why they are here. Why are they part of the team? Why this project? Why this change? Why this whatever? And then why the role that they play in that project is so important. And when you do that, I think they wear the weight of accountability as a team member and as an individual greater than if you don't you don't connect with them, if you don't give them the why. I mean, you think about some of the projects that you've been on, and I wrote down this statement. As leaders, we are good at telling them what to do, right? And the why is completely missed. But I think high-performing teams or even individuals truly kind of rest in the why. And you think about, I was getting ready to talk about some of the things that we've done in the past where you're just like, yeah, like, are we just checking the box? Yeah. And when you check the box, you go about it. If you really were to have a true conversation with you, go about it a different way to check the box. Then if you understand the why behind we're checking the box, then there may be a little bit more of discretionary effort that we talk about there when it comes to understanding the why as an individual or a team.
Well, I've noticed one, something that's made complexity out of this, you'll find this funny, is that times are kind of good right now.
Yeah.
And business is kind of good right now. A number of the folks I coach there, I say, how's business is the best it's ever been? Well, what's happening? They're not even checking the box. They're skipping the box. Yeah. The accountability is going by the wayside because times are good. And when times are tough, we start analyzing everything. When times are good, we kind of back off. I thought, now's the time to really look at, I love that why and being this accountable person on that. And I'll just add to that, one thing I've noticed over the years, that accountability, both personal and team, has to start with me, has to start with the leader. People are watching you. I think we've said that 1,000 times here, and they're looking to see, are you really doing what you're asking us to do? They're less likely to take ownership if I'm not taking ownership for my stuff. And I'll just add a tip. I want to know what you think about this. I just started doing it in the last 6 months. Heard it from a friend, but he called it follow-up Fridays. And I thought, tell me more. And he said, all week, he has a notebook, either a physical notebook or an electronic. It doesn't matter what you do. But every time he's working with his team and a commitment is made, either he makes a commitment or somebody makes a commitment, he jots it down in his follow-up file. And on Friday, he said generally Friday mornings, but it could be late in the Friday when things start to slow down. He goes to his file and look, what are the things I need to follow up on? Things that I committed to and things that others committed to me. And I told him, yeah, I get in trouble because I'm going into a customer call 5 days before I had asked somebody for something. They said, I'll get that right over to you. They didn't do it. I'm now at the customer location. I don't have it. What do I do? Yeah. Well, if I had a follow-up Friday, I would have said, whoops, I don't have that yet. I'm going to need that.
Yeah.
And it just really kind of made it more intentional about that accountability. I said it. I do it. I'm going to do it. I own that. And I think the follow-up Friday is something I'm
going
to join.
I think that's a great idea because twofold. One, if you're missing something and you need to hold somebody accountable or you need to be accountable. Number two, it's also a way to communicate that something was accomplished.
Yeah.
I am bad about I got it, right? I got it. You can count on me. And then I just go do it. But I don't ever communicate back that I did it. And at times, you know, especially leading up, my CEO, he'll be like, can you give me an update? And your leader should really never have to ask you for an update on something you committed to. Mm. And so I like that idea about the follow-up Friday or a system like that that allows you on a weekly basis to do that. The other thing I want to comment on before I kind of wrap up here is you talked about when times are good. People just kind of slack off on the accountability. And when I was younger in my tenure with John, I remember him saying a comment. He said, I don't understand, man, when times are good and things rolling, the economy's good and this and that, people want to go take a vacation. He's like, now's the time that you should be pushing even harder. Take a vacation when times aren't good, when no one's buying anything, when no one's selling anything, when no one's doing anything. And then if you want to slip on your accountability, when you're probably not going to notice it. Right. But why not pour the fuel on the fire right now? Why not put the gas pedal down a little bit harder when times are good and hold people accountable so that you can get more out of it? Because it's a whole lot easier to hold people accountable and to push people, when I say push, you know, drive people for results around this when they see the rewards versus right. going, are you kidding me? We're going to spend another week doing this and we're not going to see any results from it. So anyways, just a thought off the top of the head there. So as we wrap up, the big thing is that if you want to, we start off by saying, hey, let's talk about personal and team accountability. It's not a negative thing. The biggest thing I can encourage you with is if you really truly want clarity, accountability, and alignment with your team to be able to do that, you got to be able to connect with them. And I know this kind of always leads back to a level two thing for us, but it's really the foundation. If you do that well, then you can easily have a very candid conversation, candid feedback, and accountable conversation that won't be awkward, that will be expected, that will your people will trust you, you trust them. And so my thing is, man, listen, don't come in and begin holding people accountable if you haven't done the foundational work of building the connection and the trust first.
Right. Fantastic. Well, thank you, Chris. Always great insights. And just as a reminder, if you'd like to learn more about the five levels of leadership or even have a five levels workshop at your organization, please go to johnmaxwellcompany.com/podcast. You can leave a comment for us there or a question if you like. We're very grateful for you joining us. Again, this is the John Maxwell Executive Leadership Podcast.